ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Verses with Jalabharata. Text number 1. Raghugana vacha.
Raghugana vacha.
Namo nama karana vigraya.
Namo nama karana vigraya.
Swarupa tu sikrita vigrahaya.
Swarupa tu sikrita vigrahaya.
Tadvijabandhulinga
Namavikandhulinga
Nihuda Nityanubhavaya Tubhyam
Nihuda Nityanubhavaya Tubhyam
Raghugana Uvacha
Raghugana Uvacha
Namo Nama Karana Vigraya
Namo Nama Karana Vigraya
Swarupa Tuchikrita Vigrahaya
Swarupa Tuchikrita
Tadvijabandhulinga
Namavikandhulinga
Nihuda Nityanubhavaya Tubhyam
Nihuda Nityanubhavaya Tubhyam
Raghugana Uvacha
Raghugana Uvacha
Namo Nama Karana Vigrahaya
Namo Nama Karana Vigrahaya
Swarupa Tuchikrita Vigrahaya Raghugana Vacha. King Raghugana said, Nama, my respectful obeisances. Namaha,
obeisances.
Karana Vigrahaya. To one whose body emanates from the Supreme Person.
To one whose body emanates from the Supreme Person.
The cause of all causes.
The cause of all causes.
Swarupa Tujikrita Vigrahaya.
Swarupa Tujikrita Vigrahaya.
Who has completely removed all the contradictions of the scriptures by manifesting his true self. Nama. Respectful obeisances. Avadhuta. Master of all the mystic power. Dvijabandhulinga. By the characteristics of a person.
By the characteristics of a person.
Born in a Brahmana family.
Born in a Brahmana family.
But not executing.
But not executing.
The duties of a Brahmana.
The duties of a Brahmana.
Nigura.
Nigura.
Covered.
Covered.
Nitya Anubhavaya.
Nitya Anubhavaya.
To him who is eternal self-realization.
To him who is eternal self-realization.
Tubhyam.
Tubhyam.
To you.
To you.
Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. King Raghugana said.
King Raghugana said.
Just translation. King Raghugana said. O most exalted personality, you are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the influence of your true self, all kinds of contradictions in the Shastras have been removed. In the dress of a friend of a Brahmana, you are hiding your transcendental blissful position. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. From the Brahma Samhita, we understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam. Rishabdeva was a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. His son, Bharata Maharaj, who was now acting as the Brahmana, Jadabharata, had received his body from the cause of all causes. Therefore, he is addressed as Karana Vigrahaya. Om Ajnana Timirangasya Jnana Jana Shalakya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Vedama Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sargana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Savaitam Savadutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanyam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sargana Raghunathanvitam Shri Vishakhamvitam Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangesha Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasa Kripa Sindhu Vyaya Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Seeking the blessing of all assembled Vaishnavas, I have to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam today morning for my own purification. So here we going into a new chapter, Raghugana converses with Jadabharat. Jadabharat Maharaj have explained some instruction. He is given some philosophy, but Raghugana Maharaj, he didn't get it properly, so he is going to ask again the question, and Jadabharat Maharaj is giving answer. This is similar to what we saw in, I think, fourth canto, conversation between Puranjan and Narada Muni. As Narada Muni gives some analogy and some explanation, but then Puranjan didn't get it. So he again explained. Prachinabari. Puranjan is the story. King Prachinabari. So then he again explains. So similarly here, Raghugana Maharaj is asking, he's going to ask question to clarify things so that he can understand. So before he asking question, he pays his obeisances. This is a general etiquette of Vaishnava dealing, that to inquire from an exalted person, one has to submissively inquire, and also one glorifies the position of the speaker. We can see from the starting of the Srimad Bhagavatam also, when the sages wanted to ask question to Suta Goswami, they glorified the quality of the speaker. So even in Bhagavad Gita also, The speaker of the Gita is Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the introduction, Prabhupada writes, one should at least have a theoretical understanding that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to understand the mysticism of Bhagavad Gita. If one have to understand the rahasyam or the mysticism of Bhagavad Gita, one should be submissive and understand theoretical. This is spirit of devotion. Prabhupada writes, the spirit of devotion. The spirit of devotion is understand that at least theoretically. Because in the same, Arjuna glorifies Krishna. Param Dhamma, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram. He glorifies the transcendental. You are a Divyam, Adidevam. You are the greatest of all demigods. He glorifies and everything in 10th chapter, which is his personal realization. A devotee may not realize the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Is like the child. When a child is born, the child knows that he is my father, she is my mother, you know, that is a knowledge. But then it takes some time for the child to realize that this is my father. Because after a certain time, the child understands, okay, there are so many people, but I call him this person only father. I'm not calling everyone. But then initially, everyone told that this is your father, this is your mother. Okay, he accepts that. And then it takes time to realize the fact that he is my father. So similarly, in order to enter the mysticism of Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture, we should theoretically at least accept the fact that he is superior. He is in a position that he is giving knowledge to me. I am in a submissive role. And it's practically also shown in Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter that Krishna and Arjuna were friends. But then the relationship changes from friends to a teacher and a student when Arjuna surrendered voluntarily and asking for instruction so that he can make some decision in life. So similarly, here we can see the speaker, and also it is given, that is one side of a conversation. Then the other side, if you see, the qualification of a listener. So that is also given in introduction, Bhagavad Gita also. And in 4th chapter, Krishna says that I give this knowledge to you, Arjuna, because you are my friend and you are my devotee. So you are my well-wisher and you are my bhakta. Bhaktosime ragasyam sheti, is it right? So he says that because if a person is envy, then he will not have that in acceptance. And devotee, especially when he says bhakta, we should understand bhakta cannot exist independently without Bhagavan and bhakti. That one should understand. Bhakta means, there is like, you know, like, bhakti means jnanam and vairagyam comes together. It's like that. Bhakta means there has to be Bhagavan and there has to be bhakti. Otherwise, there is no point of bhakta. So that proves the point that Bhagavad Gita is a treatise to devotees. That Bhagavad Gita is meant only for devotees. It's like in the starting of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas. Then what are we doing here? They glorify, this is Amala Puranam, this is the pure, this is the great, and Nirmat Saranam, those who have envious in their heart, this is not meant for people who are envious in nature. Then that rule out 99.9% in the world. Like. But then, in the same verse, it gives the point that it is also meant for people to achieve that level. So that means it is meant for someone, but then by reading that, you will eventually get there. This is our process, right? The process and the goal and the means and the goal is the same for us. We chanting Hare Krishna, not that once we get to the point that we leave Hare Krishna chanting or meditation or serving Krishna. That is not the point. You get trained, at the same time you get perfected. So it's not a separate endeavor. So this is again Bhagavad Gita in the, I think, 6th chapter. Prabhupada writes that for a yogi or for other process or other transcendentalists, they have to purify first and they have to get perfected. So there is a certain, there is a do's and don'ts. They have to follow certain rules and everything. So there are two levels. Certain level, four limbs is the starting point, and then the other four limbs is the higher stage. So one has to get physically fit in a body, mind, everything, and then they go to samadhi. So there is a separate process one has to follow for purification, and then there is a separate process one has to follow for perfection. So that becomes a tough, but for bhakti yogi, he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to endeavor separately that one has to purify oneself, the existence in the material world, and then one has to develop love for Krishna separately. So that is two in one for us. We just have to follow the process of bhakti, the cheto darpana marjanam happens. By just following the process of Krishna consciousness, one heart is get purified, isn't it? In the quality of devotional service, we can see Klesha Agni, Shubhada. All that happened, that one's purified, heart is purified, is all the karmic reaction, everything is gone. We talk about the activities of the soul, isn't it? The activities of the soul is the only thing where we have control. If you see the Bhagavad Gita, the subject matter of Ishvara, Jiva, Kala and Prakriti, these are all eternal. The body, what we got, the place we took birth, the family, the language or the position, whatever is given, a certain degree is fixed. Now if you want to try to change, you know, it will be difficult. But then the only thing what we have in control is what we can do with the given situation. This is karma. Right? This is karma. And this is, we have control. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is meant for. Bhagavad Gita is meant for to liberate the conditioned soul from the ocean of nascence. This is the purpose of Gita. Why nascence? Because if you don't know what to do, then obviously you don't know what to, how to act, what to do with this. It's like if someone dropped you in a company and then left you alone. You'll be wondering, what is this place? What am I supposed to do? Who is my boss? What is my role? Where I should sit? You know, where I should evacuate in the emergency? Nothing known. You'll be lost completely. Then if a company, they have process, they have induction, they tell you the roles and responsibility, they give you everything, they give you your cubicle, they give you a laptop, they give you everything, they tell you, okay, this is your security card, this is how you come, this is your floor, this is your area manager, floor manager, this is your GM, CEO, all these instructions are given to you, so that you know what to do in that situation. So, similarly, the activities is there. The explaining the conversion, I forgot the point, but I want to make a point, I forgot. But anyway.
Krishna's giving us instructions in Bhagavad Gita. So,
I wanted to talk about that akarma. But anyway, so that one has to understand that one has to certain what one has to do. So here, the quality of the speaker and the quality of the listener is there. So one have to understand, okay, fine. If I have to receive something, there is certain expectation from my side. Yeah? And the speaker or the person giving, there is certain expectation or certain qualities are there. But then more stress is given, you know, for example, when a guru and disciple, the more stress is we see on the side of a guru. Oh, the guru has to be this parampara, or guru has to be this guru, you know. Guru is the one who knows the essence and the conclusion of all Vedas. He knows the science of Krishna consciousness. He knows the science of God, everything. Similarly, one has to be understand what is the quality required for a disciple also, and what is the quality required for one who is receiving the knowledge as well. And that is more important as well. Here, Raghuvana, this verse is kind of a Mangalacharan, or is kind of a, you know, when you talk in Bhagavad Gita or in any other scripture, they talk about, in anything before they start, they talk, they speak Mangalacharan, right? That establish the objective of the book or the what he's going to talk. And it also talks about the benediction. And the third is, it talks about the prayers. The Bhagavad Gita mostly contains the prayers, right? So any three types, Mangalacharan can be three types. And especially the prayers we can see in Bhagavad Gita also, start from Om Ajnana Timurandasya. These are all Mangalacharan prayers. Any lecture we give, we start that. Here, Raghuvana praying is asking, you know, respectful obeisance to his spiritual master. I offer my respectful obeisances to Karana Vigrahaya. It's interesting actually. If you see in Bhagavatam or in many scriptures, the Supreme Lord and the pure devotees are addressed in the same title. If you see, sometimes Narada Muni or even Brahma is addressed as Bhagavan. And here you can see Jadabharat is addressed as Karana Vigrahaya, the cause of all causes. So Brahma Samhita, Prabhupada writes Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachidananda, Vigraha, Anadi Radhi Govinda, Sarva Karana, Karana. Krishna is the source of all, he is the cause of all. Why is addressing? Because Prabhupada explains that he is, if you see, he is the son of Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev is the direct incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is the son of Rishabhdev. But I also explained in the previous class, I think, the one of the reasons that the spiritual master is also compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't it? As representative. Because their purpose is one. We are sometimes, Prabhupada gives that we are all one in the sense our desire is one. We are all one in the sense that we want to serve Krishna, in that sense is one. Someone may be misunderstood this point that, oh, we are all one, so that means, you know, it's a kind of impersonal understanding. No, not this way. Same here. When the spiritual master addressed, you are Yasya Prasada Bhagavad Prasada. Sakshat Daritvena Samasya Sastra. You are addressed that you are same. The Supreme Lord, you are same. It is interesting that the spiritual master is of two types. The spiritual master is of two types. One is Diksha and one is Siksha. And the Siksha can be of two types. One is within, that is the Chaitya, the Paramatma, or the external instructing spiritual master. But the Siksha or Diksha, both are representative of the spiritual, of the Supreme Lord. They are non-different. Yeah. Both are non-different. Even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he starts the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Guru, Isha Bhaktan, Isha Vatarakan, Isham Tat Prakasham Tat Sakti, Krishna Chaitanya Samyakam. He starts the verse as Vande Gurun, that means plural. And even the first chapter is, I think, the spiritual masters. He explains in great detail about the tattva of the spiritual master. Who is spiritual master? Usually the instructing spiritual master becomes the initiating spiritual master. And even in our parampara, it's a line, it's a siksha line. But here, he is paying obeisance, he is saying you are Karana Vigraha, because this is non-different in the purpose that the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master purpose is to somehow or other liberate the conditioned soul or bring back or save the conditioned soul from this ocean of nations. Their purpose is one, their desire is one, their compassion, they wanted to help. Is within, the Krishna is within helping as Paramatman without, in the form of Bhagavad Gita, is speaking. Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita. The instruction is given in order to help the conditioned soul to go back home, back to God. This is another, the second line if you see. Swarupa tujikrita vigrahaya. Who has completely removed all the contradiction of the scriptures by manifesting his true self. The knowledge, Bhagavad Gita explains, that you know the matter, the spirit, and the source or the cause of both. This is the definition of knowledge. Isn't it? And most of the time, we find contradiction in the scriptures. If you take Upanishads, he is near, he is far, he is inside, he is outside, he has thousands of legs, thousands of hands. The contradictions actually, in one way, it's like kind of a filter that makes you humble and ask inquiry. When a contradiction, one has a false ego, want our tiny puny brain, we want to conceive the whole cosmic creation, we want to understand the whole thing, trying to, you know, it's like you're trying to feed 1 TB data in a 512 MB RAM or something. You know, you're trying to fit everything in that. It's not possible. We should understand the limitation of our grasping logic or rational. That's kind of a thing where we can go deep, because when you are humble, this process is not by accumulation. This process is a revelation in the heart. Tene brahma hridaya adhikaveye muhyanti. This is the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. That Brahma received this, Brahma has forehead. Brahma is the most intelligent person in the whole creation. He is our Adi Guru and he is the first person. He cannot understand the Supreme Lord. Who are we? Prabhupada writes, the great, great demigods, the great human, you know, the higher planet, they cannot able to understand Krishna. What is the possibility of a human being trying to understand Krishna? We cannot grasp. So then the contradiction and the description or the thing, it's inconceivable. It has to. If you don't, wait for this canto. In few chapters, you will understand. By direct perception, you can understand. The explanation is coming now. If you are not convinced still, even that is the idea, right? Because if you can able to go through that 9th canto, then 10th canto is easy for you to relate. If not able to accept, then problem. It's like Prabhupada gives the analogy of that duck, that you accept only the back part because it gives golden egg, but you don't want to accept the front part because, you know, it eats, it's consumed and you're costing money. You know, there is a farmer there, the duck gives golden egg every day. But the problem is, he has to feed the duck more. So he was thinking, why I have to give more? I need only the back part. So he cut the egg, a duck. So I want only the golden egg, I don't want to feed that cause. Similarly, if we accept Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, any scripture, we accept wholeheartedly. Not that we take a bite out of it and accept only that. I accept only this part. No, that is too much. Yes, I understand I am not the body, I am a soul. But Krishna is the Supreme Lord. No, I cannot. But I accept I am a spirit soul. No, that is not possible, because if you don't accept the person, that indirectly implies that you don't accept what that person is saying also. Isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna. If the position of Krishna is denied, then that loses the value and the importance of Gita. There is no point you accepting Gita. If you are accepting Gita, means you are accepting Krishna. If you are accepting Krishna, means you are accepting Gita. Because they both are non-different. Right? Vapu and Vani is same, isn't it? For us. Vani is accepting the spiritual master, that means you are accepting his instruction. I accept the spiritual master, but I don't accept his instruction. That means something wrong, hypocritical. So similarly, when we accept the instruction, then we accept it wholeheartedly. So this contradiction in the scriptures will behoove one to approach a spiritual master to submissive inquiry. We know that material perplexities, you know, makes one person to approach a spiritual master. This is second chapter Bhagavad Gita. That's how the Arjuna is approaching, because he has so much of anxiety. And this knowledge, so I was listening to one lecture given by Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. He says the point, yes, there are certain questions in life, we know scriptures is the answers for that question. And equally important is, how that scripture is presented is also equally important. That, because if you see, there are 700 versions of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is answer manual. But then we choose Bhagavad Gita as it is. Why? Because it is given in a certain way, coming in parampara. So Maharaj gives an example, beautiful. He gives a conversation between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu was a young sannyasi visiting Puri. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the Vedanta, is the teacher of all the sannyasis. He's a great sannyasi, and he's the teacher of all the sannyasis come trained him under Vedanta Sutra. He is a great Mayavadi scholar, and he is very good in Vedanta Sutra and explaining everything. So he felt somewhat compassion towards Mahaprabhu. He said, this is a young sannyasi, how can he withstand the effect of Maya? He should understand Vedanta, I should teach him. He said, I will teach Vedanta. Mahaprabhu was humble, and he said, okay. For 7 days and nights, 7 days he was teaching, he was telling Vedanta. And after 7 days he thought, okay, something is happening wrong here, let me ask him. You know, he asked, you know, Goshai is sannyas, you know, I'm telling Vedanta Sutra for 7 days and you didn't even open your mouth. Then Mahaprabhu said, actually I understood Vedanta Sutra, but I cannot understand the way you explaining it. That is the problem. I know Vedanta Sutra, but the way you explaining it, I cannot understand. Then then the conversation goes, then Mahaprabhu picks up some points which he was amazed, because he is giving more points than how he explained. So like, for example, he explained a verse 16 ways of one explained here. 64. Now Mahaprabhu gave them some more number of ways of explaining the verse, and that bewilders him. My God, what is happening? So Mahaprabhu made a point that it's not the, it, yes, it is important that we read scriptures, but the way how it is presented is also very much important. That also has equal value, because you can easily take one point and make someone to convince certain way of, you know, like a, in a travel, in a flight, 1 degree of variation you can land somewhere else, isn't it? So that explanation, especially the contradiction in the scriptures, if someone is a devotee, and Prabhupada clearly explained that if we want to understand Krishna, either you hear directly from Krishna or from his pure representative who is associated with Krishna. That we understand Krishna through the devotees who has served Krishna or from his pure devotees. So that way we can avoid the contradiction and we can able to go forward in bhakti. So here, similarly, one of the verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita also says that the scriptures is full of contradiction. Siddhanta Sagara, if you compare to ocean, the conclusion can be Vedic, can be atheistic. We have like atheistic Patanjali yoga system, we have Buddhist philosophy, we have Dattatreya, then Karma Mimamsa, so many are there. Even Vedic also there are so many, you know, like for example Karma Kanda, you know, so many other which can easily take people away from the real goal of life, or in a sense, not the direct. You can come eventually, even the yoga ladder, you know, Karma Kanda, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga. It is not a type, it is a one, but then it's indirect, or it's a ladder. You're going, but takes time. Bhagavad Gita, I don't know the verse, what Krishna says is that avidhi purvakam, is it? They indirect worship. They worship me, but they indirectly doing it. So one can easily be swayed. And these philosophies are compared to the crocodiles. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, it's compared to the crocodiles and it's in the ocean. If a purpose is to cross the ocean of nascence with the age, for example, the ocean of ignorance or the ocean of Siddhanta Sagara, which is filled with crocodile, even the expert swimmer cannot do. Even the expert swimmer cannot do. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, even a child can cross this Siddhanta Sagara and come to the conclusion. So, even, you know, like few chapters starting the verse Mangalachan, or the starting verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they always take this analogy of a child. They take the child, they take, and we think, oh yeah, child. But then if you really see, the child consciousness or the child activity is Annamaya. Isn't it? What else the child can do? Unless putting in the mouth. Whatever, anything, wherever, only thing is, I want to eat. That's all. There is nothing much more there. And not only the normal child, what they say is a foolish child. A foolish child can cross the ocean of nascence. And then not only that, the next verse is then Kaviraj Goswami, next chapter says that he crossing. Then a foolish child can explain the activities of Krishna so eloquently. Even we hear that Mukham or Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langaite Girim. A dumb person can speak eloquently. You know, a lame person can cross the mountain. We see, oh, okay. Kind of too much. No, actually, if you see in our condition, if someone is leave you in the market and then ask you to come, you will be completely bewildered. Where to go? What to? So similarly, in the spirituality, these all boil down and given. You know, it's like it's given to essence. Like someone is giving you a gulab jamun right at the front. Not the ingredients. Suppose, you know, if you ask you to go to the kitchen and make a gulab jamun, you will be like confused. Okay, what is the ingredients I need? How to cook? What are the recipe? Whom to ask? You know, so many. But then imagine everything is made and then you got gulab jamun right in your hand. Okay, just eat this. All you have to do is eat this. That's it. And then you are thinking, oh, so lucky. If you see from that point, it's like that. The Krishna consciousness, what we have, and what we got, and the process, and whole thing is being boiled down, customized, modified, fit to your requirement, and it's presented. All you have to do is take it, enjoy. Don't have to. This is the mercy of Mahaprabhu and this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. They have made the foolish child not only cross this Siddhanta Sagara filled with crocodile, but also make eloquently presentable to even a layman in the street. So this is the best part. Coming in the foots of Jarabharat, he removed all the contradiction in the scriptures. And he is a avadhuta. Here he says, avadhuta dvijabandhulinga. Namo avadhuta dvijabandhulinga. It's interesting actually, because if you see, the word avadhuta is nothing to do with the dvija. If you see that, avadhuta means one who does not fit in varnashram. That is avadhuta. One who is beyond the varnashram system, or one who cannot fit in the society. It's like that, the avadhuta. Because varnashram means there are certain rules, ashram, and then varna, everything. But avadhuta means completely beyond. So he is saying avadhuta dvijabandhu linga. That means he is avadhuta, but he is in the dress of a brahmana. He is acting, because he is born in a brahmana family, you know, he says, in the dress of a friend of a brahmana, you are hiding your transcendental blissful position. So this is something he understood. Initially, same Raghuguna, he was seeing him and he was scolding him in a filthy language. Because he is like the diamond covered with a cow dung or something. It's like the diamond, it's like the valuable jewel, it's covered. So when you see, you are actually not able to see the bright effulgent of the precious jewel. So you thought it's useless. And then you treat it as, you know, just a small stone or something. But then when you hear from outside its personality, you understand this person is not what he is showing. So that's what happened. When Raghugana saw Jarabharat, he was thinking he is just a stout. He was full of sarcasm. He was giving sarcastic words. But then the moment Raghugana was speaking, he understood this person is totally enlightened. This person is fully self-realized. He is not an ordinary soul. So that one can see from Andy is paying obeisances. So that is the main. And the question and the explanation, the whole essence of the previous chapter, Jarabharat was stressing that the mind likes to play tricks, the mind likes to judge or duality, pious, impious, good, bad. How can we able to control the mind? He gives that verse, he goes, the last verse, what he says, this uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or give it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. So he is giving a solution how to control the mind. That you serve the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. That's where you can able to conquer, able to overcome. The problem, mind is a powerful weapon. We know that. Everyone. And the worst part is, it's like you have a powerful weapon, say suppose a machine gun or something, and then you give it to a child. That will create more havoc. First thing is, we don't know what it is, and second is, we don't know how to use it. The mind is a powerful weapon. We don't know the potential of the mind, first thing. Second, we don't know what to do with that. Then obviously, we are degrading with this powerful weapon. and we are creating bondage. So mind is a cause of bondage, at the same time mind is where you can liberate. Mind is an enemy, mind is a friend. So we can see that clearly. So here, by engaging the mind in the service of the Guru, the instruction of the Guru, Vyavasatmika Buddhi, you can say, and then by service of the Supreme Lord, Ambarish Maharaj, Savaimana Krishna, Padaravindra. So by engaging, so these are the scriptures giving instruction how to engage this powerful person, the weapon of this powerful weapon, so that you don't get damage for oneself, you don't get entangled. So this is what people, that ignorance of what, no, how to do, what to do. So Bhagavad Gita is full of the instruction for the mind. Siddha Pragya, starting the second chapter, Stuta, talks about the mind. Talks about the 7 to 12 is all things thinking about Krishna. Then what to do with the mind. Then the 8th chapter talks about Antakale Chamam, Smaran Mukta Kalavaram. You have to think about Krishna. Manmana Bhagavat Mukto, Madhyaji Mamas Guru. You have to think about me, you offer me obeisances to me. It talks about, you know, mind. All the time, 7th chapter, 8th chapter, 9, 10, 12, every chapter talks about what to do with the mind. You have to think about Krishna. Always think of Krishna. Don't forget about Krishna. Because mind is, you can get either absorbed in the material activities or absorbed in the scriptures and pastimes of Krishna. Or even in the fact that our goal is to absorb in the holy name. This is mantra meditation, right? We are doing mantra meditation and mind is somewhere else. Come on, wake up. What you are doing? You have to think about it. We are doing mantra meditation and the mind is not in the mantra. That means something wrong. You are doing some other practice. So bring back the mind. It's tough. It is struggle, but you will be happy. Material struggle, it's impossible, more suffering. Anyway, so this is what I thought I can see. I'll leave here if see anyone has any comments or correction. Or you want to add anything? Questions?
Right.
Yes.
Thank you for the nice class for me. Question is that you said that Chaitanya Charitamrita is compared to a crocodile. How is it compared to a crocodile?
Chaitanya Charitamrita is not compared to crocodile. The other philosophies and are compared to crocodiles. I mean, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the like the boat, or it's like the essence. So we don't have to get stuck in the crocodile. Jet flight. Say bye to all crocodiles and we don't have to do anything.
Thank you for a nice class. You mentioned that you spoke about the half-hand philosophy, that you cannot accept only half part. But then at the same time, for example, Scientology, you read their books, they also teach about reincarnation and about the mind. And Prabhupada said that you can also find good at the 50th place. So it appears like a contradiction. At one point we say, oh, you need to take the full package. But then another point we say, oh, like, you know, even if one part makes sense, you can then get a part, the other part, you don't need to.
Yeah. So, for that, even reincarnation, some Buddhists also accept, and which has to be hammered Buddhism also, you know. We say that's atheistic philosophy. Certain, see, whole Bhagavad Gita also, there is a provision given for people to gradually come to a point. Exception is not like the rule that, okay, fine, some concession is given, doesn't mean that you stuck there. There are concessions given in the scriptures and everything, so that, okay, you are inclusive, but please, you know, You are also part, but you elevate yourself. So if you see in that perspective, why then Krishna spoke different yoga? Why he spoke about things which are not directly involved in bhakti? So that gives a hope for people, okay, I am also there. But then he talks about the highest, for example, everyone get enrolled in a class and the teacher talk about getting first rank. He gives, okay, all are there, okay, these are the things you need to do. If you do this, you will get the topper. But everyone is included in the class. So he gives provision, okay, you come, everyone come. But these are the things which I tell you. Okay, you are doing that? Okay, fine. You know that part? Okay, come. You know this? Okay, like. So similarly, when we are preaching also, we have to come to a same ground where we can able to relate something to them and then bring them. And it's a common ground kind of thing. That's how the preaching works, right? Something you have some connection, okay, they appreciate something new and you appreciate, oh, you know about reincarnation, okay, fine. Even the same, okay, fine, for example, Karma Kanda, we talk about that. That, what do they say? You have to be happy in this world. So do this process. The person do that. Then he says, okay, sir, I want to be happy also. Say, don't worry, do this, you'll go to Swarga. Oh, really? I want to go to Swarga. I'll come, I'll do this. So he will do that. So what it implies? That means, if he's doing that, he wants to go to Swarga, then he indirectly accepts the fact that he is not the body, he is a spirit soul. So it's like giving the medicine without knowing to a child. Then he understands, oh, in Swarga also there is a problem, I don't want to go there. Then come, okay, yoga. Then you do karma yoga. So similarly, there are so many philosophies where they might resemble, like for certain religion, certain thing also they follow a certain principle which is closely resembling our four regulative principle also. But that doesn't mean we have to, you know, reject. Oh, you have to surrender to Krishna. Krishna has given Sarvadharman Parityajya in 18th chapter, not in the first chapter. First chapter, first verse, Gita would have finished. Sarvadharman Parityajya, Maam Ekam Saranam Raja, Aam Tharam Sarvabhavya Mokshashum. Surrender, otherwise close the book, go, that's it. You are going to hell. Now that means like you are putting off so many people, right? So Krishna also took time, he explained everything and then gave that. So similarly, there are other philosophy also, they can have a certain part of what we have. But that's good. Okay, then we can relate, okay, you're doing, you just have to do another 50% of it, that's it. I hope that's okay.
Yes.
Okay, otherwise. Yes. Okay.
So I was thinking this half analogy, we can't apply that in all contexts because absolute truth is absolute truth. So if this logic is can be used as a tool to understand the truth, then we can use it. But I was thinking probably can't apply it. This
Nyaya
Shastra everywhere.
Yeah, this applies to any analogy. Analogy is to make a point of that particular thing we want to convey to people. We just take the analogy. People always, you know, they get interested in analogy and they get carried away and they put some extra component to it and then ask questions from that. Now that is not the whole point of presenting the analogy. First of all, it is then you say, how the duck can give golden egg? You know, that is the Bhagavad Gita. Show me egg, golden egg which can duck can. No, that is an analogy to bring up a certain point. So similarly, the point is that, because we see some Bhagavad Gita, they stop in 6th chapter only. They don't move after that, they talk there only. And then certain, you know, Gita, Prabhupada, I think you have heard that there is no mention of Krishna. They try to remove the aspect of Krishna where one is, we need to accept. So that part we have to understand, okay, fine, you know, if you are accepting, then see that verse from the whole context. See that purpose of the book, you know. It's like Paribhasha Sutra we hear in any scriptures. If you have any contradiction, anything, come back to that. Come back to that and, you know, say, oh, okay, this is what the whole thing about it. And the contradiction, then come back, okay, no, Krishna is supreme. And also we see in, so that's the thing. Yes, you know, it has its own limitations. But then at least we understand that point, okay, fine. Then we move on.
Thank you, Prabhu. Wonderful class. With your permission, I wanted to add something.
You got a verse for me?
Yes. No, not for you. For the verse that you quoted and the question that little Mataji had asked.
Yeah, yeah.
So that verse is, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Vande Bhalopiyat Anugrahat
Tarena
Nana Matgraha Vyaktam Siddhanta Sagaram. So the crocodile there, it is the opinions about different Nana Mata. What is the opinion? Nana, different opinions from the ocean of scriptural conclusions.
Yeah.
So it is considered a crocodile because it's very difficult to get rid of what you become convinced about.
Mm.
What you consider valuable.
Mm.
What you consider as knowledgeable. So once you become exposed to Darwinism, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You know, people say they read our philosophy and everything, but they still continue to think in that Darwinian way. Review the whole thing, but man came from monkeys. So it's a crocodile. The crocodile script is very difficult to get rid of. The crocodile gets you.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Yeah, there's no way that, you know, you can get rid of its grip on you.
Yeah.
So that's where it has been considered a crocodile.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good. I like that verse itself. First two, three chapters only.
Every chapter has the first verse.
Yeah, first there is essence of that. But then every chapter talks about child. If you see, I was singing this. Okay. But it's gradual, you know. Child cross, child explains, child. Anyway. Hare Krishna. Chandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.